Christian Watson. Will he make an instant impact in year one? I mean, this guy's 6'4", 208, runs a 4.36. We're bringing in Razzball's own Paul Blake to break it down and more on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast starting right now. All right, folks, welcome back to another great edition of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. We're here to break down a great everyone's super excited. The Green Bay Packers drafted a high draft capital wide receiver. He's going to be awesome, Christian Watson, today with Razzball owns Paul Blake. But before we get into all that, we want to make sure everyone's following Razzball Fantasy across the board. Right now, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, like, rate, review, do it all. Hit the little bell. Get those notifications. We're dropping knowledge on all these prospects daily at this point on Razzball Fantasy. And also make sure you're checking out if you're a baseball fanatic. There's no better place to get information on baseball than Razzball.com. And check out the latest videos on YouTube as well. We also have social media accounts. We have Instagram. We have TikTok. We're dropping videos daily on there as well. So there's plenty of stuff, and more importantly, make sure you go to Razzball.com to check out the latest content on there. We have plenty of exciting things going on over there. New stats, new points per game data, all coming your way in the next few weeks. But now, let's get to why we're really here today and bring in my esteemed co-host for today, Paul Blake. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It's going, man. I'm excited to talk Christian Watson today, man, get your thoughts on him and really dive into it. So let's just do it. That's what we do here. Let's dive right in. Let's talk Christian Watson going to the Green Bay Packers. What'd you dig up? What'd you find out about this guy?
Oh, man, this guy is a mystery man. It's just kind of hard to figure out all the details about Watson. So you mentioned, let's start right off the bat. Went to North Dakota State, so not a Power 5 school. Obviously, they do very well in their own conference and their own division, which is a competitive division, but you think a guy who, as you mentioned, with the height and weight, 6'4", 208, 4.36, 40, 38 and a half vertical. His relative athletic score, which is a score that kind of just measures relative athleticism, just like it sounds, was 9.96. Now, that's the 12th highest score out of any wide receiver since 1987. Yeah, that's 2,785 wide receivers that have been scored. And he's the 12th overall. So how'd he end up at North Dakota State, right? He must be just some diamond in the rough from, I don't know, the land of cold and ice and snow that nobody's ever heard of, maybe Minot or some tiny town in North Dakota that you don't know. Well, that's not the truth. That's just wrong. He's from Plant High School in Tampa, Florida, which is a big-time high school. Enrollment's over 2,500 students. The alumni list is incredible. A lot of big-time baseball players. You got Pete Alonso for the Mets, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, Kyle Tucker of the Houston Astros. Most importantly, as far as famous alumni from Plant, if you're into fruit-bashing comedians, Gallagher is from this school. So that's pretty wild. I also thought that Gallagher kind of dressed like Freddy Krueger, but that's a whole different idea there. But yeah, man, so he's not a diamond in the rough. He's a diamond who's just out there in plain sight, right? Was rated a two-star out of high school. I don't know how that happens. 3,689th overall recruit. He was rated over 500 out of wide receiver. I think he was 501. 536 rated recruit out of the state of Florida. People missed, man. Everybody missed on this guy. And I don't know how they missed on him, but they sure did. So he's kind of come out of nowhere. What do you think about that, Bob? How's this guy sneak through? How's he get by everybody?
Well, I mean, North Dakota State, I instantly think of Carson Wentz and Trey Lance. I mean, they somehow find these diamond and rough quarterbacks. Why not throw a receiver in there? I guess I'm interested to know, was he productive in high school, like his senior year? Like, what was the deal?
So from judging from the numbers, he did have a pretty good high school senior year. Kind of got buried a little bit on depth chart, but was pretty good in his senior year. But yeah, I guess nothing really blew anyone away. Hell, 247 Sports didn't even have him ranked. So they didn't even rank this cat, which is incredible coming from that big-time school. Kind of getting into what I think he's going to do in the NFL, that's difficult to say too. So North Dakota State's a little bit wonky. They run kind of a marriage between an old school and a new school offense. They actually run the receivers on and off the field all the time. So he was only in on like 30% of the offensive plays. So if you try and dig up highlights from this guy, you're doing a lot of fast forwarding. You know, there's just a lot of plays where he's not even on the field. And then he comes on the field, and when he's on the field, the defensive backs take notice. I mean, they go way back. They do not want to press this dude. They know the speed. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like in the NFL for this guy, because basically every play, when I watch his highlights, he's either running by a dude or he's just running a jet sweep and just literally outrunning everybody else on the field. But one big thing that I did notice that I think is going to be extremely helpful for him with the Packers is this dude was really good running that, getting open on play action. Because if a defensive back even pauses just a second to take a look in that backfield, he goes right by him. And we all know how good Aaron Rodgers is on those play fakes. So that could be kind of a match made in heaven right there.
Now, I got two questions for you. The first one is, do you think he might be better suited to fill a Marquez Valdes-Scantling role versus a Davante Adams role? And my second question is, any shot he's kind of used like Debo was? I mean, Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan are boys. Could they use him in, like, the backfield a little? You know, jet sweeps you're talking. What's your thoughts on that as well?
So, you know, I haven't seen too many jet sweeps from LaFleur, but, you know, I wouldn't say he could – I don't think he can hold up the Debo Samuel role. He's just – he's kind of that lithe, smooth athlete, not real thick, not kind of stout like Debo. So I don't see him doing that. I do see him more in that Valdes-Scantling role than any other thing. I don't think he can run the route tree that Davante Adams can. I don't think he's got that ability. I don't see him running that many different plays when I look through the highlights. Now, maybe he just wasn't asked to do that at North Dakota, and who knows? If you're not asked to do it, who knows if you can do it or not? But I don't see that when I watch the film on him. I see a guy who, like I mentioned, he's probably going to take the top off the defense, going to get a couple of jet sweeps, but also, you know, when the corners are going to have to play 6-7 yards off this dude, and you could just turn, pop it right to him, you know, right there at the line of scrimmage, and it's 6'4", 210, he might be able to push someone over, and you know, all it takes is one broken tackle when you run that fast, and you're going to take that thing to the house.
Yeah, so his comparables, and I always like to get your feedback on these, Denzel Mims, Kevin White, and Rashad Perriman are the three guys that Player Profiler have him linked to in some way. And all three of those guys have busted pretty much so far. Mims has flashed maybe a little bit, but got buried. You know, Perriman had that, you know, what was it, 2019, the last like 5 weeks of the year. He blew up for like, because everybody else in Tampa was hurt. But overall, those are wide receiver busts with high draft capital. So do you think that makes sense, or is there a different guy that you would compare to him right now?
Man, they do kind of make some sense. Rashad Perriman, man, how many times have I rostered that guy waiting for him to blow up? Just his physical scores and what he was able to do were just much like Watson, just incredible athlete. And for whatever reason, he just can't make it happen in the NFL. I sure hope that's not going to be the case for this dude. What I will say about Watson is when I was watching his film, they do run the ball a lot there in North Dakota, and he is a monster run blocker. He's going to jump in there. He'll probably be the best run blocker in the wide receiver room right away for Green Bay. I mean, I saw him where they kind of brought him down in motion, you know, crack back on linebackers and just shutting linebackers down. Also just taking defensive backs and just moving them off of the field. I mean, really impressive work as a run blocker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's going to help too. You know, every little bit helps when you're trying to get on the field in the NFL.
Absolutely. Yeah, so when I'm looking at this from that standpoint, because that MVS thing kind of stuck in the back of my mind when I'm looking at the comparables, looking at the side speed, looking at his, you know, his deep threat ability, I was thinking maybe he might be better suited for that MVS role. And that kind of opens the door in my mind for Alan Lazard to become more of a fantasy factor this season. But this team has a bunch of opportunities. I mean, in my analysis that I do, 244 available opportunities this year. And so that's going to be huge for these guys to step in right away. You know, when you're looking at the roster for dynasty purposes too, let's talk about it. Alan Lazard, free agent as soon as next year, 2023. Randall Cobb, void year next year. Sammy Watkins only signed for one season. Juwan Winfrey, you know, the backup wide receiver, restricted free agent. And then they've got Romeo Doubs as a fourth rounder this year as well. And Robert Tonyan's only on a one-year contract. So the entire Green Bay Packers passing team, passing game weapons are all free agents essentially next year. So this guy, he could not only, if he doesn't at least earn a big role this year, he definitely will have to be stepped into the next one next year. So I do see that as well. But when I take a dive into rookies under LaFleur and with Aaron Rodgers, I think we do have a lot of interesting, you know, tidbits here. So when you look at rookies under Matt LaFleur, Amari Rodgers comes to mind last year, did not play much. A Cooper Kupp in 2017 when he was OC with Sean McVay, had a wide receiver 28 season. And then Leonard Hankerson, you know, strop it all the way back to Washington football team way back in the day, did not do much either. Then you look at rookies with Aaron Rodgers, even worse. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams, Ty Montgomery, Amari Rodgers, none of them, not a single one of them was relevant as a rookie in fantasy. Not a single one of them. So that worries me too, because Aaron Rodgers is another one of those quarterbacks, just like Tom Brady, who wants to know that he can trust his guy, knows where his guy is going to be. And that connection he had with Davante Adams, I don't know. He did not have that right away with him either. Adams was not a factor. So that kind of worries me a little bit when I'm looking at this stuff. But based on some of the stuff you've seen with Christian Watson, how do you think he's going to acclimate himself year one? And do these kind of things that I just brought up bother you maybe for drafting him right away in a redraft format?
Well, it's all going to come down to the drops. You know, we've seen it with Rodgers. He doesn't have patience for drops. So if he drops a couple passes, I mean, he being Watson, Rodgers is just going to look elsewhere. I think part of the intrigue with LaFleur is he wants to run the ball, right? So he'd love that safety to get out of that box, right? He doesn't want that safety near the line of scrimmage. Watson's going to help him with that. So I do see him taking, 3 to 5 shots deep with him every game. And that's the beauty of these kind of speed wide receivers is they don't have to catch 10 passes to be fantasy relevant. They can catch 3 passes, 78 yards and a touchdown, and you've added him as your third receiver that week. Bam, that's good production out of that third receiver. That's what I like about these deep guys who take the top off the offense or off the defense. They don't have to catch 15 passes to be quality. They can catch 3 and give you some good numbers that fantasy week. And just to go back to Lazard, man, if you're in a dynasty league and the price hasn't gotten out of control, I recommend going after Alan Lazard. That was a 5-star recruit as well that everybody forgets about because he went to Iowa State. But, man, that kid can play. He's got the size. He's got the ability. I see him as the guy to go after rather than Watson. And I may be wrong on that, but that's how I'm going to play it this year.
100%. You just stole the thunder here because ADP right now has them both right back to back, 123rd and 122nd, Alan Lazard and Christian Watson. And I was just going to ask you the same question, and I agree with you. I'm going to go Lazard 100%. I think Lazard's going to be one of my favorite picks, especially if he's going to be keep going in that 9-10 range for rounds. So I do love Alan Lazard. But let's talk about dynasty rankings. Right now today, he's going 9th overall, Christian Watson, just ahead of guys like Jahan Dotson and George Pickens, David Bell, our boy, and right behind Sky Moore. So what's your thoughts about that pick at number 9?
I think 9's a little too rich for me. I think he's pretty comparable to Sky Moore. You know, I would have him above Sky Moore, but I can't put him above Bell. You know, I definitely don't want him above Dotson. You know, no way. I think he's a good player and high quality player, but like I mentioned, going against lesser competition, only 34% of the snaps, did some things really nice, but it's kind of a limited situation. You know, I don't see him running all these different routes out of that route tree. I see him. I don't want to call him a one-trick pony because there are a few tricks, but man, I got to see more from him.
All right, Paul, listen, that's all we got for Christian Watson today. But I said to you pre-show, I'd give you the spotlight. I know you want to shout out one of your boys. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. So, yeah, big time player retired this week. Sam Cook, punter for the Baltimore Ravens. Man, I know punters have nothing to do with fantasy football. I get it. But this guy was an incredible pro. And I think we just need to take a moment to remember what he did. He almost reinvented punting, right? So he created this punt called the Cook Hook. It goes up and it hooks back in at the returners, and they have just a hell of a time receiving that punt. He also created a punt called the knuckle punt, which, you know, I don't know if you're Mighty Duck fan D2 or anything, but it gives you kind of images of that knuckle puck, which is another, I mean, he's making people muff these punts and turning around field position. Did it for 16 years, leads the Ravens in all punting categories, was also called the greatest holder of all time. He's held kicks for 3 Pro Bowlers, including Justin Tucker, who's probably going to be a Hall of Fame player. I don't know that Cook makes the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he gets there, but you can guarantee he'll be in that Ravens Ring of Honor. And for a player that's played this long, who started out as a walk-on at college, worked his butt off, sixth-round draft pick, started off as a boomer. As he got older, he's 39 now. As he got older, he said he couldn't boom, couldn't punt it as far as he used to when he was younger. That's when he started to come up with these creative kicks, and he rewrote punting. So I think we should take a moment for him and just remember, punters are people too. Respect them.
All right. That's it, folks. That's all we have for today for the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Once again, make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, TikTok, IG, and make sure you're going to Razzball.com to check out all the latest stuff that we got going on in baseball, hockey, basketball, and also football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Thank you once again, my esteemed colleague, Paul Blake, for joining us today. We are out of here.